A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
With CJ, and he's still in the concussion protocol, and you know, we'll see how he progresses throughout the week.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, December 19th of 2023. You heard Spencer Tillman on the way in here. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A show that almost didn't happen today. No, I didn't fall down a flight of stairs like Josh Beard and suffer a concussion. We wish him well. You know, if I had a concussion, your boy would do a radio show. Would you want to hear me with a concussion doing a radio show? I think you would. I'd probably be a little grumpier, a little more bitter. But today I'm grumpy and bitter because someone decided to rear park their car on my way into the studios here at Gow Media. This person had a Tesla, and it's one of the worst rear parking jobs I've ever seen. This person doesn't put her hazards on. And it's one thing if, you know, you miss your parking spot and you say, you know what, I'm going to park in one of the three that are to my right and just drive directly in. But I got to say, like, the amount of people who rear park in this city, a lot of them are driving pickup trucks with no hazards that get put on. And just like, yeah, you're just going to have to deal with me as I reverse park, especially if you're, I don't know, like 2 feet away. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous, guys. End rant. I'm sorry. I had to get that off of my chest because I was going to be grumpy and bitter the entirety of this show. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. If you're watching this show on twitch.tv/ESPN975, I'm wearing a hat that is a chimney with 2 feet sticking out of it. It implies that Santa's had a bad time. He's had a bad old time. I guess I had a bad old time in the parking lot. Sean, how are you on this Tuesday?
Doing good. Doing good. I'm glad you told the story, and so now you won't be grumpy and bitter for the rest of the show. That's
yeah,
what you said. That's
I did. Said, so we're turning over a new leaf.
Yeah. So there, you know, will be no grumpiness, no bitterness from Paul today.
In the middle of that rant, I saw the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And while I hope that person's Tesla gets totaled by a meteor that hits it from the sky, now we're ready to go. And unfortunately, as you heard from D'Amico Ryans right there, CJ Stroud is still not out of the concussion protocol, joining Josh Beard in that spot. And it's a shame because it's going to be a very difficult Sunday for the Houston Texans against the Cleveland Browns on Christmas Eve. The Browns defense is very, very good. I don't know how many of y'all have seen the metrics for them defensively, if you're into the advanced statistics and all of that jazz, but they are second in defensive success rate against the run. That's not good because the Texans offense without CJ Stroud is just Devin Singletary. Fourth in rushing EPA a carry. I don't know what that means, but it sounds pretty good. First in defensive success rate against the pass. First in passer rating allowed. You need CJ Stroud back on Sunday. A lot of people were asking when I did my post-game stream on my YouTube channel on Sunday and yesterday, okay, well, what the hell do the Houston Texans have to do to make the playoffs? It's not going to be easy. And honestly, just win out because it's going to be really difficult for them to get in. The big problem for the Texans is that they've got to play the Colts the last game of the year, and really we can't officially figure out if they're going to make it until they play that game, which is going to be a big one. But you got multiple teams that are tied at 8-6, five of them. You got the Jaguars and the Colts. Jaguars lead the division because they swept the Colts. The Colts lead you because they beat you once. And the Bengals lead the Texans because this is how effing complicated it is. Since the Colts have the tiebreaker over the Texans in the AFC South because of that 1-0 record. They are the first team that you match up with the 6-seed Cincinnati Bengals, who have beaten the Colts earlier this year. Thus, even though the Texans have beaten the Bengals are ahead of the Texans because the Bengals are ahead of the Colts. It doesn't make any sense to me. Here's the deal. Just win out. I guess you could lose to Cleveland on Sunday, but just win out. You really want to get into how complicated and confusing the tiebreaker scenario between the Texans and the Colts is? Basically, they have the same record, give or take, in common games, which is actually going to be the tiebreaker should the Texans beat the Colts the last game of the season and they have the same record. And since the Texans have lost to the Panthers and the Falcons, this is not a foregone conclusion that if they lose any of these games and then beat the Colts the last game of the year, it's not a foregone conclusion that they would necessarily get in unless they win that last game. So it kind of sucks. We're stuck in this holding pattern, and I suppose we should just be happy with the Texans having 8 wins, right? But expectations change as a season rolls along. And I think at this moment in time, you want to have at least one playoff victory in addition to making the playoffs. You had a quarterback in C.J. Stroud when he was healthy, he was looking like a fringe MVP candidate. So when you know you have something like that, you might be whispering to CJ, hey, CJ, take some ibuprofen. I don't know what people generally do to deal with a headache or a concussion. Is that the same thing? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm assuming that it's a little bit more violent to get a concussion than a headache or a migraine, but is there anything that can speed up the recovery process? Say CJ Stroud just wears sunglasses for a really long period of time. Does that help? If you put a super dark visor on his face mask, would that help? Honestly, whatever solutions they have, because we are living in the medical capital of the United States of America. Can the fine doctors at Memorial Hermann and some of the other places, can they figure something out so that he can get back out on the field? Because, yeah, I don't want to deal with a loss to the Browns on Sunday. That's going to throw a huge wrench in everything. It's the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, at Gallant Says on Twitter, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. People are asking me about my Christmas sweater that I'm wearing on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. No, it's two snowmen, and as you can see, one snowman has a carrot for a nose. The other snowman's carrot is missing, his carrot for a nose. And he's got a frown on his face. And the thing is, the sweater with the snowman with the carrot on his nose, he stole that snowman's carrot and he put it in his privates area. So he also has a carrot dong in addition to having a carrot nose. So now you know, he's just a prankster. He's just a rascal. How many snowman Christmas movies have there been? You have the
Frosty
movie, right? Frosty the Snowman with the Burl Ives soundtrack. It's animated. It would have been better if it was claymation. You have the snowman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who seems to serve as a narrator and actually was played, I think, by Burl Ives. You've got multiple editions of the movie Jack Frost.
Yeah.
One of them's a horror movie. I've never seen that one. And the other one is like a heartfelt family movie about a deadbeat dad who, I guess, discovers that he loves his son by being a snowman.
I forgot what the name of the movie was when you started talking about snowman movies. And so I just Googled a snowboarding snowman movie. And that was the first one that came up.
Oh, so there's snowboarding in it, too.
At one point, he snowboards.
Okay, that's fun. Look, we need more snowman movies. It's very clear.
Oh, you got the Abominable Snowman?
But he's a Yeti. He's not a snowman. He's a Yeti. Yeah, he's.
I don't know why you're taking the personhood away from the Abominable Snowman.
He's not
now
a man.
Now you're making him a creature of some sort.
It is a creature. It's not a man.
Okay.
Do we think that Bigfoot is a man?
I don't know.
Exactly.
But they don't call him.
He's a creature.
They don't call him the forest man.
No, that ain't no man.
You go, nope, Bigfoot.
That is not a man, sir. That is not.
Abominable snow.
I get it.
Man.
But if you've watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that thing's like 20 feet tall. No.
But if you watch Monsters, Inc., he's a man.
I haven't watched Monsters,
Inc. Oh, okay.
I'm not going to watch a Billy Crystal movie. Are you kidding me? What? Why are you laughing?
What a weird line to draw.
Why would I watch a Billy Crystal movie?
Well, it's more of a John Goodman.
Hi, it's me, Billy Crystal. I like the New York Yankees, and I'm going to foist it into every single movie I'm in. Have you seen City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold?
No. But I also don't have an embargo on Billy Crystal.
It's so unbelievable in When Harry Met Sally that the Meg Ryan would be into him. Sorry. I'm sorry. Have you seen his hair? Billy Crystal has been forced into our lives far more than anyone needs. How many times has he hosted the Oscars because he's a harmless comedian that won't actually talk about what self-entitled douchebags most of those people are? I guess I haven't gotten out of my bad mood, have I?
I'm just ranting about everything. Random drive-by by Billy Crystal.
It's better than the Mac Miller drive-by last week. R.I.P. But right. Billy Crystal, yeah, too much. Bad. There's too much Billy Crystal in our life. There's too much.
He's a little green monster in this movie. He's barely in it. He's not barely
That's
in
too
it.
Much. That's He's too much
the,
for me.
He is the second or third lead in this film. Mm. With the abominable snowman, who's a person, who speaks words, helps Sully.
He doesn't
Sully.
Speak words, does he?
Yeah. He helps Sully and Mike on their journey.
Okay, you're again talking about the Monsters, Inc. version yes. of this. I guess I have to watch Monsters, Inc. now.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
Is it a Christmas
movie?
No,
it just has the abominable snow.
I was wondering if there's a Christmas scene in it, because that's how like deep the rabbit hole goes. We really reach when it comes to what is and isn't a Christmas movie. Like, Die Hard, it's a bit of a reach as a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I like to watch it around Christmas. I'll use any excuse I can to watch Die Hard. So to say it's a Christmas movie and make it an annual tradition, 100%. I mean, I look like Harry Ellis, the guy who does cocaine and drinks Coke and then gets shot in the head. Spoiler alert. So, but it's not really.
I mean,
a Christmas
he does
movie.
Go ho 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 at one point, but yeah.
Now I have a machine gun. Yeah, just good times, good times. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. CJ Stroud dealing with a concussion. Do you think the Texans can actually beat the Browns on Sunday without CJ Stroud? Also, Case Keenum was on the Manning cast last night. He subbed in for Kevin Hart. And Houston sports fans are once again frustrated with a guy that I don't know how we're supposed to gauge him going forward. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The only sports radio on FM in Houston. Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Embrace debate. Do you have to put your hazards on when you reverse park? If there's someone right in front of you? One texter says, you don't put your hazards on when you back in. Quit crying. I don't know. I think if there's a car right behind you, you should. I swear, I see this a lot in Houston. I do. And if you got a car that's bigger than the one that's behind you, okay. I mean, that car is kind of screwed. You better reverse. But I don't know if it's smaller than the car behind you. Do you just keep going and going and going? I don't know. Like, put on a turn signal or something? Because it is kind of abrupt if you're driving right behind a car in a parking lot, and then all of a sudden they just go in reverse. Am I supposed to understand what they're about to do? That's my question here. Because it happens a lot. This is why I've spent far too much time on it, Sean.
I don't know. I remember back in the Vanessa and Gallant days, I did a, what's it called? A Wine Wednesday.
Wine Wednesday.
Remember Wine Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wine about something. And that was the, for all the new listeners, that was the entire premise. On Wednesday, we'd wine about something. And I had the same thing happen to me. I want to say it was like at a Target, where it was the same exact situation as you, where you're like, the guy like passes up the open spot, so you're like, oh, sweet, I'm going to go get the spot, and then he just starts backing into it, and you're like...
See, that's annoying as hell.
It's like, and it's also a packed Target parking lot. It's just like, what are we, again, to all the people defending the backing of the car up, what is the car behind you supposed to do?
Exactly. That it's like you don't care about it. And here's...
That might be the answer, is I don't care. That honestly just might be the answer.
And if it is, great. That's honesty.
Well, it's not great, but at least it's honest.
I will take honesty. But if there is a Tesla in a parking lot, and there are legitimately six open parking spots ahead of this car to the right, and they decide that they're going to park in between two cars after going past that spot and then park in reverse. I don't know. What are you doing? That person deserved the double bird salute that I gave Amy Adams yesterday. I gave it to her and I felt justified. The Christmas spirit. What about the Christmas spirit?
Do Teslas like auto park? Like, do they park themselves?
I don't know. I'm assuming yes, but she did a very horrible job of it, too. It took her three adjustments to do it.
No matter who is in charge, whether it's the person or Tesla,
yes,
computers, whatever it was, subpar.
This person should have her license revoked. It was a terrible job. Like, it would be one thing if there was plenty of space and this car had a chance to do the reverse parking. No, and they didn't put on a blinker. They're just expecting me to understand what they're doing? No. Should have just driven on through. You know, a little hit and run before the show. Show up late. Right? Like, it's fine. Josh Beard didn't show up yesterday. He fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
Or did he?
Concussion-like symptoms is what we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was diagnosed with a concussion. He's trying to gut it out.
Trying to gut it out. I saw him tweeting about it. He's like, oh, I got a migraine. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's already planting seeds.
I've done shows with COVID, whatever.
Yeah, he's letting his teammates down. But no, that's okay. What's most important is the health of his brain. But he is letting Michael Connor down.
He's letting Michael Connor down. He's letting Andrew Carlson down. He's letting you down, Sean Mapes. I mean,
he let me down.
You had to do extra work yesterday.
I did. Luckily, Spanish Flower brought some food. So
that's true. Shout out to Spanish Flower. Those fajitas were dope.
I'll be honest, that like completely made it worth it. Because it's always such a pain having to do like this show and then Connor Beard or whatever, whatever iteration of the show is 12 to 3. Is that like there's no time for me to get lunch because I either get here at 9 and then have to not eat until 3 or I don't know. I have no idea how I'm going to get lunch every day. It's a mystery. And then, you know, on days where Spanish Flyer brings food. Mystery solved.
I'm surprised by the text line right here, Sean. I'm surprised. This is actually polarizing. We have like 20 texts about this right now. And someone is saying, I'm all the time. I just go in reverse and I don't care. Cry more. Okay, so this guy's a dick.
Okay,
this
guy's just a dick. Did he just tag it douchebag?
he should have. He didn't, but he signed it with cry. Another person... they texted in, I'm the same douche, Paul, that puts his hazards on when it's raining hard. No, but if I'm about to try to parallel park or reverse park, I put on my hazards. Because if I turn on my blinker, that makes no sense. It doesn't. Because the car is not going to turn right or turn left. It is going backwards. Thus, hazards. I don't know. I'm not an idiot on the road, but, guess a lot of y'all are. Okay, we got to move on. We got to move on. Because you know who's not an idiot? He's a legend. Case Keenum. He was on the Manning cast, and once again, he proved that the man knows about show business. We've seen him before in Buffalo, where he was pretending to be a fan, going up to his teammates, talking to them with a strange accent. Hi, I'm your biggest fan. Can I get an autograph? Last night, he subbed in for Kevin Hart, and Eli Manning said, hey, man. We're going to ask you questions that were for Kevin Hart. Case Keenum, who's not the tallest man, then decided to shrink his seat and say, okay, let me get in character. It was very funny. But has Case Keenum gone too far in a war against short kings? you know, it's a tough time of year. The short king's out there. Were you upset by what Case Keenum did? On a serious note, it was cool to see Case Keenum get a little national love after another random relief performance to continue his 37 decades of work in the greater Houston area. It's Battle of San Jacinto. He was there helping stop the Comanche menace. He was there. Did he invent the Colt 45 pistol? Was he a Texas Ranger? Only legend can say. But it was cool to see Case Keenum out there. And remember that this is the same Case Keenum who, back in 2014, did battle with Joe Flacco and then the Baltimore Ravens. And now he's going to go up, potentially, if C.J. Stroud's not back from his concussion, against Joe Flacco and the Cleveland Browns. When asked about leading the Texans to a victory, and I think the last game of the year against Flacco, Keenum said this: "I'm not the best with words. Arian Foster said he was going to punch me if I cried. You don't win, it makes winning very, very sweet." And guess what? Case Keenum won there. Not winning last night, Jalen Green. You look at the stat line, I get the frustration. You look at the plus minus, I get the frustration. And I'm not going to act like I watched last night's game. I was at Porch Swing Pub for the Monday Night Football bingo that they do. 50 Cent Wings is a pretty good spot. I'm wondering, Sean, why people are mad with Jalen Green this day. Because I'm not really sure where I'm supposed to plant my flag on Green. I think Green has not lived up to being the number two overall pick. But I also feel like he's got time this year to potentially figure things out. And I'm wondering at what point we're supposed to have an official judgment on him. I know my take on him last year was that he did not make enough progress under Steven Silas, but that could have been a Steven Silas problem because Steven Silas, it's pretty clear, did not coach these guys nearly as hard as Ime Udoka. But once again, we're talking about a 2-for-12, 1-for-4 from outside performance by Jalen Green.
Yeah, I mean, part of this is just like bad timing because Sunday we didn't, or after Sunday's game, we didn't talk about the Rockets at all on Monday. And he was 6-for-11, 16 points, 7 assists. Like, he had a good game. It's just like the timing of it is the last time we talked, it was 2-for-10, 2-for-12, 4-for-12. And then we don't talk about 6-for-11. And then it's because it happened in the middle of Sunday Night Football. And then it's 2-for-12 again. So his like one good game just gets totally wiped away. So I think that's part of it. And part of it is like he hasn't been consistent enough with getting shots to fall. I will say though, like as far as his development or like what I've seen is that like it is the shots are not going in. Like it isn't like he's playing outside the offense. It's not any attitude issues. It is just like he cannot put the ball in the bucket right now. He's not really that good at finishing anymore.
Oh boy.
It's just like a strange, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's just like in his head about it because again, this is the first time he's had to like know plays and know the offense. And you look at the shots per game, they're all around 12, 10, 12, 11. There's one 17, one 15, but they're like, he's not like trying to do too much. He's not really trying to do too little. It's just, again, it's a make or miss league, and he's missing a lot.
A lot.
A lot, a lot. And like you said, you don't know when the deadline to like call this is. I think it's the end of the year. I think this offseason is when you have to like actually make the decision of like, what are we doing here? He still will have like a decent amount of value, unless he just shoots 2-for-12 for the next 60 games, which I doubt. But you can at least make a move to get like an actual star. If you want to, you know, throw your chips in, that would be the time. As opposed to like this trade deadline, I see people talking about like the Rockets make a move this trade deadline. That seems a little early for me. That's only like 25, 30 games from now. I don't know. I want a little bit more runway. Also, this team is like going to be in the play-in kind of no matter what.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
I kind of want the, because the upside with this team, after they bring in Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, like those guys aren't the guys that are going to take you to the next level offensively. They raise the floor. They bring defense and professionalism. Same with Jeff Green. But the ultimate upside to this team is the steps that Alperen Sengun can take, and he has taken at least one this year. The steps that Jalen Green has taken, he hasn't. Jabari Smith Jr. has taken a small step, but it's the young guys that are going to be the stars of this team. But if you think that Jalen Green won't be a star, can't develop into a star, then yeah, you kind of have to trade him either at the deadline or this offseason, because it's a delicate game of he will have value, but then also you don't want to trade him too early, but you also don't want to trade him too late.
It's a very interesting point that you raised.
Or he can just figure it out in the next, like, 6 weeks.
He's got time to figure it out, but I'm trending towards he's not going to figure it out.
I am trending on, or at the very least, that time will run out with the Rockets before he can figure it out. Maybe on the second team he figures it out, but I'm not starting to doubt him. I'm just like, I'm not banking on it. You know?
I gotcha, yeah. He is Sean Mapes. Very interesting to monitor what Jalen Green does the next couple of weeks. I am Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Guys, I should have told you to do something last night. I should have told y'all to bet on the Seattle Seahawks in Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Because Pete Carroll's undefeated against the Eagles in Seattle, and because Pete Carroll's primetime record is like 66%. It's insane. I don't know why the Seahawks are like that. I mean, Drew Lock's not a good quarterback, and somehow that happened at the end of the game. But for whatever reason, weird stuff happens up in Seattle. And I'm not just talking about off the football field. MyBookie.ag, you enter promo code BET975. Up to $1,000, they will match your first deposit, and you get to play with it right away. Hell yeah. You got all sorts of bowl games that are in action right now, more NFL games, basketball games, all sorts of sports are playing right now. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Kane Powder.
Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Welcome back to the Paul Gallant Show in the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Hell yeah. It's Texans Talk with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bieniemy.
Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
The Texans are 8-6, unfortunately due to the NFL's very confusing and complicated tiebreaker process. They are still on the outside looking in. Even though the Jacksonville Jaguars are 8-6 and the Indianapolis Colts are also 8-6, joining me in studio after a very fun Case Keenum-led Houston Texans win on Sunday in Nashville against the Tennessee Oilers is DJ Bieniemy of ESPN. What was this weekend like from the perspective of when did you know that it was going to be Case Keenum starting for the Texans instead of Davis Mills?
Side note, what is that on your head?
I've told you before, this is a chimney with a person.
Sean, why is that on his head?
That's stuck in the chimney. It's a Santa. This is like Santa had a rough day. This chimney, maybe not as clean as a chimney should be. I don't know.
You should probably take it off.
I'm not taking it off.
You should probably take it off.
Why should I take it off? DJ, I have the Christmas spirit. I'm sorry you don't with your just be yourself hat.
Whoa. Yeah.
I am just being myself. I'm being myself too.
You're not a chimney.
I'm wearing this hat because I have the Christmas spirit and DJ hates Christmas.
I do not hate Christmas.
DJ hates Christmas.
I do not hate Christmas.
Listen, look at my snowman sweater. I'm just being myself.
Why is the other snowman sad?
Because he got his carrot nose taken away and the other one's wearing it where his schmenzer is.
So you're wearing a thief snowman. You're wearing
he's
criminal
a thief
snowman.
With a carrot wiener. Yes.
Anyway,
he's got a carrot nose and a carrot dong.
So it's funny. Like on the show on Friday, when I was with the Killer Bees with Jeremy and them.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, we were talking about Davis or Case. We all were thinking it was Davis, and, like, I got a text saying, like, oh, it might be Case. They were like, I heard you on the radio, it might be Case. I was like, oh, okay. So now, you know, I texted some people, and I, you know, reached out to some people at ESPN, like, hey, we got to change our report because, like, it's saying, like, it's going to be Davis, but actually might not be Davis. We need to cover our butts. I put out that tweet that it was saying Davis or Case. So that I guess later on the night, you know, Aaron Wilson, he had broke that it was gonna be Case, and then we kind of already it was kind of a done deal at that point. You know, I just didn't feel comfortable like going fully with it, but when I was hearing that it was Case earlier in the day, so shout out to Aaron for sealing that deal. But yeah, I would say Friday is when, because funny, like the context clues were there throughout the week when I was talking to players, right? Obviously, they were saying, like, you know, one play I see one guy, the next play I see another. But I'm thinking, all right, you know, it's just, you know, whatever. I think in that moment, I should have been like, wait, what? So I would say, like, Fridays when it was, like, more legitimate and that it was going to be Case. And it worked on Sunday, you know. They were able to get that win.
I get why they did it, because Mills can't move. And the offensive line, who I know D'Amico Ryan said played their ass off on Sunday, especially when it came to run blocking. There's some clear limitations with the offensive line right now. I go back to 2017, DJ, when the Texans lost to Deshaun Watson for the year. And I remember having a conversation with somebody who was like, hey, what are you guys going to do at quarterback? Tom Savage clearly can't move. And he said, we have the worst offensive line in the league. We need to have a mobile quarterback. And he was implying Colin Kaepernick at that moment in time. Like, he would have been interested in them bringing him in. And I remember thinking to myself there, like, hey, at this point in the season, and especially with the limitations with offensive lines going into the air and then all the injuries that the Texans have on their offensive line on top of all of that, Keenum does have mobility, even though the guy's in his mid-30s.
Yeah. I mean, I think Davis has a little bit more, but I think, either way, I think both of them have enough mobility to where it could work. We saw some of the plays where Case would, like, run around and try to make plays. Hopefully, you know, they can get CJ back this week. I'm not really optimistic on that front.
You're not optimistic.
No, I'm not that optimistic on that front. Maybe because he didn't come close to practicing last week.
Not even close. He didn't travel, right?
Yeah, he didn't travel. You know, he didn't even come close to practicing, right? Like, that kind of gave an indication that it might be longer than, you know, it could be longer than just one game. Because it was very reminiscent, like, the hit, the reaction was very reminiscent, minus the hands, to when Tua got slammed against the Bengals.
It was a hard hit.
Yeah.
You told us that last week, and on top of that, we've seen CJ leave the field multiple times this year and come right back in. People on the field thought that he was dazed in that moment. He was clearly dazed in that moment against the Jets.
Right.
I don't know how the concussion protocol works. We're obviously going to find out as well with Trevor Lawrence, who's also in it right now.
Yeah.
And I don't even know where Trevor Lawrence got hit in that Sunday night football game against the Ravens. Right. Maybe it happened before that weird fumble that he had where he was just trying to switch hands.
Right.
But that is definitely not good for a Texans team going up against a Browns team that, is limited at quarterback, but their defense is pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, they have the number one total defense in the league. They have the number one total defense in the league.
Yikes.
It's like the whole team's under, I think, 280 yards per game. Going into last week, it was 263. Haven't seen the updated numbers, but it's probably still in the 260s, 270s. Like, that's insane. Like, to hold a team consistently under 300 week after week after week. Like, they're a dominant defensive front, and they have no holes in the entire unit. Like, they're stout up front. They have dogs on the back end. They're very similar to the Jets, minus the fact that they can legitimately stop the run consistently. That's the only Jets' defensive flaw. But the pass defense is in the same air in terms of being able to really, like, choke you out. So, yeah. I mean, we all hope CJ can get back. I'm not that optimistic about that. Hopefully I'm wrong. Mainly because, again, like, I'd rather see CJ out there. But I think Nego will be back this week, so
that's at least good.
Yeah, so, like, you won't be out there with both hands behind your back, just maybe one hand behind your back against that defense. But, man, this week is going to be interesting for sure in that regard. Because, you know, it's funny, like, I don't know if I said on here, but, like, usually when a backup quarterback starts the first game, the team usually either covers the spread or they win outright. And but it only lasts for, like, one or maybe a game and a half. So we've already crossed that one. The game went into overtime, so we might have kind of went into that game and a half threshold already.
It did feel like he was getting confidence as the game went on, but at the same time, some of that confidence perhaps a little misplaced, like on that throw that he had to Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Where Schultz somehow stole the ball away.
Yeah.
There's a lot of almost interceptions in this game. To go back to the Browns, who are up next on the schedule for the Texans, I saw John Crumpler tweet out a bunch of interesting statistics about the Browns defense. And I also saw this video. I don't know if you've seen it, DJ. Somebody put together a montage of all the times that Myles Garrett got held on Sunday to music, and they didn't call a hold once. So I don't know what the Texans got to do, hold him every single play, or maybe leave a helmet on the ground and like dare him to bash someone with it. But I don't know what they're going to do against Garrett, because Garrett's maybe the defensive player of the year in the NFL this year.
He is. Yeah, no, I would say like if he goes against Laramie, then it's basically to a draw, because basically best on best. But if he's on the other side, you got to bring help, a lot of help. A lot of help, yeah. You know, because he's going against, because Fant obviously was dealing with the hip issue, so he probably won't be 100%. Or if it's Charlie Heck, like,
what the heck?
Let's be for real, you know what I mean? Like,
you're stuck in Heck.
You can't leave those guys one on one with Myles Garrett. Maybe for like a play or two, if you're doing a quick game, getting the ball out quickly. But if you're doing anything that's like, you know, 5-step drop or if it's 30 long, like, you have to give that man some help against a guy like that. And that's no shade to them. That's just you're going against the best edge rusher in the game right now from a physical standpoint, from a production standpoint, from like, he's a cartoonishly freakish athlete. So it's going to be interesting to see what they devise for that. That's going to be a tough game, man. That's going to be, hey, the defense has to show up. I mean, granted, last week was probably the best defensive performance of the season for the Texans.
Definitely. I don't think it's a question.
Yeah. Because yeah, Steelers game, they held them to 6 points, but they were up playing with a lead. This game, they were down 13, and like they couldn't allow any more leakage, and they basically choked them out until like later on in the game when I think they might have got a field goal or something, you know?
I mean, they held Derrick Henry to a record few yards despite all the touches that he got in that game. And also, to the coverage, I don't know if it was for the most part Derek Stingley on DeAndre Hopkins or Steven Nelson, but whatever combination, I mean, it was good, and both of those corners look great, but Hopkins had 2 catches for 21 yards on 9 targets, which is, I mean, both of the numbers that they put up against those two are insane. I mean, the Titans at the very least have a quarterback in Will Levis who maybe makes some careless decisions, like that interception he threw to Steven Nelson, but the guy has balls, and he'll throw the ball into a tough spot, and Texans were there just about every single time that they needed to be.
Yeah, so I think it's a combination of both, right? Good coverage, taking away his first read. Because he doesn't really, like, scan the field very well.
That is true.
Yeah, he kind of locks into one guy, and if it's not there, then, like, he'll slowly move to the other side. But at that point, it's too late. They're able to take advantage of that. They're going to need that again this week because, I mean, Joe Flacco, even though, you know, Joe Flacco just came off the street or whatever, but Joe Flacco's a veteran. He's been playing pretty well in that system, even though he had kind of up and down game. He had 3 touchdowns, but he had 3 interceptions. Majority of it came in, the touchdowns came in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Can't really rely on that. But yeah, this is gonna be one of those slugfests that's gonna be, if you want to bet over under, bet the under in this game, because I don't know how either team is gonna be able to score a bunch of points to really blow this open. So hopefully they can get CJ back. Next year, optimistic. And we're just kind of have to see.
We will see on that front. He is DJ Bienname, Houston Texans beat reporter, ESPN, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's going to be an interesting matchup of coaches on Sunday, and we touched on this in our pre-show text about the idea that D'Amico Ryans is, after an awful loss against the Jets, now perhaps back in the Coach of the Year conversation.
Right.
I think you got to put Shane Steichen in there.
You got to put Kevin Stefanski
on the other sideline, I think, is the front runner now.
Yeah, I mean, what they're down to, this is what, their fourth different quarterback?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I said going into the year, and someone on the text line was like, oh, Paul, where are you on Kevin Stefanski now? Like, I'm shocked, honestly. I can't believe that it's gone this well, considering that, yet again, they were having issues with Deshaun Watson when Watson was healthy.
Yeah.
And here they are at this point in the year on another quarterback making it work. He deserves a whole lot of credit because this was a guy going into the year that was definitely on a hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, they lost some tackles. They lost their quarterback. They own a fourth quarterback. They lost their best offensive player overall, Nick Chubb. And
I forgot about the Chubb injury.
And they're still pushing on for it. So, he's in it. D'Amico is obviously in it. I think if D'Amico can win a division, I think if Shane or D'Amico win a division, then they'll get coach of the year. Kevin, it depends. If those two don't win a division, then I think Kevin will probably get it because being honest, you have a quarterback is kind of crazy. Even though I don't really like the rules, like what we deem coach of the year.
It does feel like if you're a rookie head coach, you're not going to get it. It is. I agree with you because it's generally not the best coach in the NFL every year. Yeah. It's like who has the best story.
Yeah, I find that stupid. Like Brian Daboll getting coach of the year last year was so stupid to me. You finished third in your own division and you got boat raced by the Giants and the Eagles in both games, four games, you just get absolutely slaughtered. I get it. Like, you weren't supposed to be good, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Who cares? Like, the Niners were on their third-string quarterback and were the two seed. You know, like, they're just better. They were better, in my estimation, like, better coaching job. Even, like, last year, like, Doug Peterson, like, they won their division after, you know, having number one pick and then winning their division. Like, it should have went to him or Kyle Shanahan. Like, I hate the whole who gets the coach of the year thing. Cause it almost feels like we're trying to make up for being wrong. When in reality, like, who cares if we're wrong about like how we projected these teams? Let's just go with who's legitimately doing the best coaching job.
Yeah. And to your point about Doug Peterson, I mean, Peterson, they won the division last year in spite of having Trevor Lawrence under center.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad for
you. I'm sorry. I haven't taken a shot at Trevor Lawrence yet. Lawrence is a good quarterback.
Yeah,
I won't deny that.
He's a good quarterback, yeah.
You know who he reminds me of, DJ? And I don't know if this is ahead of too far back for you or for Sean Mapes behind the glass, but he reminds me of Donovan McNabb.
How too far for me?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you're the one that said that Ed, like Barry Sanders. You guys are like, yeah, scrub. He's going
Who
up against plumbers.
Who said that?
I don't know. I might be paraphrasing a little bit.
Nobody said Barry Sanders.
DJ Bienname said, like, Barry Sanders, like, could he make it in today's NFL?
Who said that? I never said that.
I'm making that up entirely.
Of course.
All I'm saying is that I get crap for being old all the time, so I may as well ask if you guys watched Donovan McNabb.
I think Donovan McNabb at this point. I think Donovan McNabb at this point is better than Trevor, though.
Here's why I make the comparison, though. So all of them, both of them, do a lot of things very well. McNabb was mobile. McNabb could make some very pretty throws. I say the same thing about Trevor Lawrence. The thing that's similar between the two of them is that when they misfire, they miss by a lot. Trevor Lawrence will throw dirt balls. Ask any Eagles fan what their favorite memory of Donovan McNabb is. And even though he was, for the longest time, the best quarterback in their franchise history, they'll be like, the time that McNabb threw it in the dirt. Like, they'll talk about that. Or they'll talk about him puking not like four interceptions in the first half puking, but puking in the Super Bowl and stuff. So I feel like they're good quarterbacks. They were quarterbacks that people thought could be the best in the NFL.
Right.
And they're probably never going to quite get there, even though we'd probably say like they're top 12, 10. And that's where Lawrence is. And you watch that game on Sunday. And now the Jaguars, they've lost three in a row. Technically, they could have lost four in a row.
Yeah,
they could be five losses in six games as well because they got smoked by San Francisco not that long ago. And it does make me think back, like wishing that the Texans had Kyeemy Fairbairn for that game and that kick.
Yeah.
At the very end, that Amendola hit the crossbar on.
Nah, you're right about that. Yeah, nah, the Jags they're most definitely reeling, you know, bringing it back to the whole AFC South. They're most definitely reeling. Again, like, it's funny, like, once Trevor got hurt, I think, like, he should have, it's funny, like, I said they were going to lose the next two games after he got hurt, but in reality, he should have sat out that Browns game, got back a little bit more healthy or whatever, and then possibly played against the Ravens, but obviously, like, he didn't. Now they're 8-6. The schedule isn't too tough. But, I mean, they do go to Tampa Bay this week. I could see them losing that game. But they've been oddly better away from Jacksonville than at Jacksonville. So, we'll see that on that front. But, yeah, the Texans, it'd be funny if Week 18 is for the division. It'd be very funny if that's the case, if Week 18 is for the division. For the Texans, I don't see a scenario where it could be for the division, for the Colts, unless the Jags find a way to lose a couple more games.
Right. The Colts schedule the next couple of games, though, like I think that of the Jaguars, is pretty favorable. Now, it really depends on, I guess, what you think about Vegas, but the next three games for the Colts at Atlanta this coming Sunday. Atlanta just lost to the effing Panthers.
Yeah, but that'd be tough.
You think so, coming after that loss?
Yeah, that'd be tough.
It's still Desmond Ridder. They have
Tyler Heineke. He's starting now.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Arthur Smith almost cost me my fantasy playoff game. by not giving Bijan Robinson the ball. Hey. But we pulled through. We got the win. On to the next round.
Nice. Not going to talk about my fantasy team because neither of them made the playoffs.
Loser.
Yes, second and third most points in both leagues and missed the playoffs in both.
Loser.
Die in a fire. Vegas is next up for the Colts after that, and then they play the Texans the last week of the year. The Jaguars, meanwhile, I have a hard time seeing them not winning the division because at the Bucs, okay, that might be a tough game. Panthers at Titans, the last game of the year. I think the Jaguars can end up winning it.
I think at Titans, the end of the year could be tricky for them.
But with the way they're playing, yes, I agree with you.
Like the Titans' defense has been playing well lately. Obviously, we saw what they did against Miami. We saw what they did last week. Obviously, backup quarterback, But you can't with confidence be like, oh, the Jags are going to just win out. Like, they just lost to the Bengals on their backup, who didn't have Joe Burrow.
I think, though, the Bengals, I respect what they're doing because they've done this before, obviously, with Joe Burrow in the past. But, I mean, that game on Saturday against the Vikings where it looked like they were completely out of it, I don't know. They just got some balls. And,
yeah, for sure.
But they have a tricky next couple of games as well. At Pittsburgh, at KC, Cleveland at home to wrap up the year.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not great.
That is not great.
I mean, look, Pittsburgh with Mason Rudolph under center. they're probably in pretty good shape there.
Yeah, they'll beat them.
So as far as all those 8-6 teams, we mentioned the Browns as well. The Browns have at the Texans on Sunday. They have the Jets at home, and then they have the Bengals the last game of the year, as we just mentioned. Mm. And the other team that's hanging around.
I know.
The Bills, who might be, are the Bills right now, post Sean McDermott, being exposed as somebody who once used the 9/11 hijackers to motivate his players. They're 2-0 since that came to light, and their last three games of the year at the Chargers, New England at home, and then at your Miami Dolphins, who are two games ahead of them in the AFC East.
Yeah, no, if the Bills get in, man, they're scary. They're for sure scary. I do think that the tiebreakers might do them in because they can't afford a single loss, right? If they lose one game, right, then they're going to be in a situation where, like, cause the tiebreakers are not in their favor at all. That's why even at 8-6, they're still behind the Texans, right? Like, they lose one game, and let's say the Broncos went out, right? That's a head-to-head over them. Let's say the Bengals win 2 out of 3. They're 10-7. That's another team ahead of them. So I would say, if they lose one game, they're kind of cooked. I think their path is mainly get winning division, or they're probably going to be at home. But if they get in, they're very scary. They're very scary if they get in. But, it's funny. Like, the Texans, they control their destiny. I think if they can win this game, then they'll be in a great spot. Because then they'll be, 9-6. They'll beat the Titans at home. Like, that I know they'll do. They'll beat the Titans at home. Because there was nothing like the Titans did. I don't know how the Titans fixed their issues, right? Because, they have... on the offensive side, they have structural issues up front with the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
It's
crazy how bad that offensive line got.
That offensive line.
It used to be great.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
Yeah.
So, you can't fix that in 2 weeks.
No, they gave him 7 sacks and Will Anderson didn't even play.
Yeah, exactly. So, I would say that's a game that they should win in that last game. They should, at the bare minimum, go into the last game with 9 wins. It should be 9-7 or 10-6.
That'd be sick. That would be sick if that were the case. Okay, two really quick questions before we let you go. CJ Stroud, you said you weren't feeling optimistic. Is it a greater than 50% chance in your estimation, and again, it's Tuesday, that he plays Sunday against the Browns?
I put 55, 45.
55! Oh, 55, 45? 55. Wait, which is it?
So the 45 is... plays, 55 is doesn't play.
Oh, that's not cool. That at 55, I hear that first, I'm like, oh, he will play. No, oh, that. Okay, fine.
If he practices tomorrow, then that changes stuff. But right now, you got to get through phase 4, which is non-contact practicing. If you get through that, then you're usually good. But if he's not out there on Wednesday, then it gets really tricky because then. Thursday practice, which is the most important practice, if he goes out there and it's non-contact, and that one's non-contact, Fridays is a walkthrough. I mean, you can say that's contact, but let's be for real. Today should be kind of hard to pass all those barometers, but I guess what can give you guys hope is he was ruled doubtful on Friday last week. He was ruled doubtful, so maybe he was making good enough progress.
Okay, last question.
Yeah.
Yes or no, Texas win Sunday? It's Tuesday. It's early.
If CJ doesn't play, no. He does play, yes.
But TJ said that last week, and the Texans won. They beat the Titans.
I did say that.
I'm with you in that. Probably shouldn't have gone down that way, but hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. He is DJ Bienname. Catch his work, ESPN.com, covering your Houston Texans. I am Paul Gallant. Are the Astros a bunch of pores? Quite honestly, they might be now. I'll explain why next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm an idea man, Chuck.
What if you mix mayonnaise right in the can with the tuna fish? Hold it! Take live tuna fish and feed them mayonnaise.